The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, rise and shine and welcome back, everybody. And hey, what an hour of history, huh? What an hour. You know, in 1918, we lived through a worldwide pandemic. And then in 1929, a worldwide economic crisis. And then in 1968, nationwide riots. And then in 1974, a near impeachment. But heck, that's nothing. Here in 2020, we've been through all of that, and it's not even the middle of June yet, right? What an hour. And what on earth can a little parish priest possibly offer you to help you live through an hour like this? Well, how about the grace and peace of God our Father, and the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? It's all you ever needed anyway. Here on Trinity Sunday, that's what we're celebrating today. The day in which we celebrate the most important single thing we believe, the only thing I can offer you, honestly, is the only thing any of us ever need. The peace, the sanity, and even the joy that comes from believing, and I mean really believing, who God is in his inmost nature. You know, I ask people, what's the most important thing we believe as Catholics? And almost nobody gets it right. Almost nobody answers the Trinity. They give decent answers. What's the most important thing we believe? Jesus is God. Jesus rose from the dead. Sometimes they're really astute and they'll say, oh, the most important thing we believe is the Eucharist, right? Body and blood, soul and divinity. The most important single thing we believe, ladies and gentlemen, is the Trinity. Here's why. Because everything else we believe, and I mean everything, tells us about what God has done. But when we talk about the Trinity, we're talking about who God actually is and everything that God has done flows from who God is. And not only that, but who we are is based on this understanding and how we're supposed to act, because we're made in God's image. And so people, they'll say, what difference does it make? You believe in a Trinity, you don't believe in a Trinity. Isn't that all just a bunch of Catholic gobbledygook and theology? What difference does it make? Doesn't make any difference at all. That's what people say. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it. In fact, the difference it makes is infinite. Infinite. I could talk literally forever. Won't do it, okay? But I could. Let's start with Jesus Christ, for example. If you subtract out our understanding of the Trinity, then Jesus Christ is no longer God. He's just a really great guy. Enlightened teacher. Tragic, tragic death. So sad. So sad that his life was cut short, right? And if Jesus is not God, well, then you have no rational way of saying that you think that God loves you to the point of death. And to take it a step further, There's no reason to believe that you should have to love anybody else with a sacrificial love either, because he commanded us to. And heck, as long as I don't have to do that, I'm not going to bother. Because why should I think about you, right? When I can think about me, it's so much easier. If you don't understand the Trinity, you have no understanding that we have a God who is love. Take the Holy Spirit, it's another example. Question for you here this morning. Does God dwell in you or not? You say, yeah, God dwells in me. Yeah, God, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, only if you have a Catholic understanding of the Trinity. If you subtract out the Holy Spirit, there's no reason to believe that. And your prayer? Your prayer is nothing but your own personal, subjective groping in the dark after spiritual abstractions. And sacraments? Oh, they're nothing but pious memories, memorial ceremonies. And you know what the real consequence of this is? If you subtract out our Catholic understanding of the Trinity and you no longer believe in the indwelling reality that is God, the Holy Spirit, in your soul, there's no reason for you to believe that God dwells in the soul of your neighbor, which, by the way, is the foundation of all of our morality and the foundation of human dignity. It's the reason why we say that every single human person deserves to be treated with respect and dignity at all times. Throw out the Trinity and you throw all that out as well. And you look around you in this hour of history, and isn't that what we're seeing? Yes or yes? Yes. Because here's our understanding. God in his nature is three persons. Three completely distinct, unique, utterly individual persons. A true community. True diversity, but absolutely inseparably one. And couldn't we use a whole lot more of that at this hour of history? You see, we're called, you and I, to show forth that unity to the world. And if we don't, the only thing we end up doing is reflecting back out onto the world its own divisions and its own frustrations. You and I are called to reflect this unity of the Trinity, because you know what the opposite of that is. If the nature of God is a complete unity among distinct persons, don't forget, I've mentioned this before, what's the nature of the diabolic? You find the answer in the etymology of the word. It comes from two Greek words, dia and balein, literally to tear into two. And there's no greater evidence of the power of the diabolic at this hour of history than to see the deep divisions among persons. And how does it happen? How does it happen? We take our eyes off of the unity and the reality and the love of God himself. And if anybody's going to reverse that, it's got to be you and me. Here's what Jesus talks about in the gospel right here. He's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a leading Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, comes to Jesus in the dead of night because he doesn't want anybody to see him talking to. Even back then, people were a little bit ashamed to let the public know of their love and devotion to Christ. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Focus on the first half of that statement. God so loved the world that he gave. Love is nothing other than giving. And how do we know that? How do we know that? We know that because that's what God is. God is personal, relational, and sacrificial giving. And so too are we called to be. First of all, God is personal. You ever noticed that the Catholic Church is immensely concerned with the dignity of persons? I mean, it's almost all we talk about. Persons, born or unborn, old or young, abled or disabled, sick or healthy, rich or poor, and it doesn't matter what color their skin is. We got outposts in every country in the world. And why are we so concerned with the dignity of human persons? Because God himself is composed of persons. And that's why we value each and every person, not for what they have, not for what they can do, not for what they can make, but for who they are. And they can never lose that, made in God's image. And a warning to you here this morning, the further away we drift from this understanding of who God is, the more impersonal, cold, and cruel the world will become, and you're already seeing it. Who's going to fight back? Who's going to fight back if not the ones who understand and believe and profess who God is? God is relational. You could say that God's identity is his relationships. I don't want to get too far afield in this, but the difference between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is their relationships with one another. Their relationships are their identity. And you know what that tells us? That tells us that our relationships are our identity as well. First and foremost, this one, between you and God. And secondly, with everyone else. And it also tells us that relationships are not only the most important thing in life, it's no exaggeration to say that they're the only important thing in life. Really. Once again, first of all, this relationship. And from that, every other one. Everything in our society exists, or should exist, to foster relationships, especially between man and God, and secondly, especially within the family. Everything. Every government, every army, every navy, every municipal authority, every job, the entire economy. What does it exist for? It exists for the purpose of establishing and strengthening relationships. And we believe that because of who God is. And once again, a warning to you here this morning, the further away we drift from this understanding of God, the more cold and impersonal and functional the world will become, and you're already seeing it. And who's going to fight back if not you and I, who have this faith and understanding of who God really is? And lastly, God is sacrificial. It's God's very nature, complete self-giving from one person to the next. That's what God is. That's what love is. That's who we're called to be as well. And you want to know what flows from that? True justice. You hear a lot about justice these days. People are throwing the word around a lot. If somebody pressed you for a definition of the word justice, could you give one? Let me make the task real simple for you and just supply you with the classic definition of justice. Justice means giving to each person what is their due. Now, you could teach an entire semester course on what that means, right? But you start with that. Justice means giving to each person what is their due. And that's why you will never have justice in a society that doesn't first understand the first thing every other person is owed is love and respect. And once again, the further away we drift from this understanding of who God is, the further away we drift from real justice. And who's going to fight back against that? If not you and me. So yeah, it matters. The Trinity matters immensely. What you believe matters immensely. You know, you've heard people say this all the time. They say, it doesn't matter what you believe, long as you're a good person. People always like to say that, you know, especially like at family reunions and that kind of thing. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're a good person. That is shallow comfort because it's manifestly false. You can't be a good person without good beliefs. You want to know why? Because what you do flows from what you believe. You want to know what you really believe? Take a look at your life. Don't tell me what you profess with your lips. Look at what you actually do. That will show you what you really believe. And that is why it's so important, especially at this hour in history, that we reflect, meditate, and pray for a deeper faith in this profession that's the most important in all of our religion, our understanding of the Holy Trinity. something for us to remember. A little something for us to remember next time we sign ourselves with a cross. It's not the image of a God who's distant and unknowable, but the image of a God of love, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.